Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
What's going on in this world all the time? And I see spiritual lessons, and I learned something last night from that. Let's turn to the Word of the Lord. The Weapons of Mass Construction, Part 2. I saw some of you didn't get it, and when you were typing, you said mass destruction. We're not trying to destroy. We are constructing. So it's the weapons of mass construction. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. 1 Corinthians 12:1-4. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. You may be seated. When I was a young man, just starting to preach about 1968 or right in there, there was a real move on among Christianity, and it was to sterilize Christianity, to make it more applicable, to make it more desirable, to make it where people would not be offended. And so one of the things they wanted to do was take all the reference to the blood out. And so they removed a lot of the old hymns because they referred to the blood of Jesus. Another thing they wanted to do was remove any reference from the Scripture and from the Christian faith about being militant, that it is simply a religion of peace. But it's difficult to do because there are so many things that refer to warfare, soldiers, fighting the good fight. It is a real militant experience, this thing called Christianity. The only thing, we do not war with carnal weapons. Remember when they came to get Christ and Peter pulled out his sword? Can you believe that he was packing even though those days? He pulled out his sword and cut Malchus's ear off. Remember that? And then Jesus had to reach down, get the ear, put it back on the guy's head, see if it's working, testing, 1, 2, 3, you know, all that. So we're not doing that, Peter. We are militant, but not with physical weapons. We don't shoot people. We don't threaten people with a gun or a sword to get them to come to Christ. I remember when I was a young evangelist, that I preached for a pastor that had a son that was just a devil. I mean, he's the meanest kid, about 17 years old. And I remember getting in a car with him and another guy, and the guy driving 100 and some miles an hour and just recklessly said, "Now will you pray, Kevin? Now will you pray, Kevin?" Well, that's not the way you bring people to Christ. We don't do it with physical things. And the Bible said our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. They are spiritual. Jesus said, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So marvel not that I say you must be born again. We must be spiritual people. We must realize that we are involved in a war, but it's a spiritual war. When you find that you are confronted on your job, many times it has nothing to do with your job or your personality. It has to do with the spirit that's in them and the spirit that's in you. And that spirit is not familiar with your spirit, and it comes in conflict. There is no question that we are living in the end of the age. Things are getting worse and worse. Turbulent times that Jesus spoke about. And we deceive ourselves if we think that we can cower in a corner and helplessly be victorious. It's just not going to happen. The truth is, as Christians, we must weaponize ourselves for these last days. We must weaponize ourselves. But the weapons, remember, are not carnal. All weapons and all gifts of God are spiritual. All weapons, remember that, all weapons and gifts of God are spiritual. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. But all these work of that one, the self-same Spirit, divided into every man severally as he will. You are supposed to have weapons, but they're spiritual weapons. When something confronts you, you are supposed to be able to be victorious, not by the fact that you're stronger or meaner or wiser or you can punch him, but because you have a spiritual reaction to that which is carnal. They are not the weapons of flesh. They are not the gifts of flesh, but they are the gifts of the Spirit, and they are the weapons of the Spirit. So if that is true, the first thing we must do is seek what? The gifts of the Spirit? No. The Spirit. Before you seek the gifts of the Spirit, seek the Spirit. That would be, the Bible said we're all baptized in one Spirit. But ye are not in the flesh, Paul would write to the Romans, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Christ had the Spirit without measure. Let me say that again. Christ had the Spirit without measure. The reason I know that, John said in John 3:34, for he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. He did not give the Spirit to Jesus Christ by measure. That means it was not measurable. It was an abundant, ever-ending, ever-flowing supply of the Spirit of God. Well, if that be true, you can't measure it. It's not a can. It's not a pitcher. It is a flowing source of the Holy Spirit. And remember when Jesus spoke of that, he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He wanted us to understand that the supply of the Holy Spirit in our life, just as it was in his life, would be immeasurable. You can't use it up. You can't say, well, I need to save the Spirit a little bit, lest I run out. Oh, you're not going to run out of the Holy Spirit. The more you use the Holy Spirit and you let the Holy Spirit flow through you, the more the Spirit increases in you. So they asked the question when they were troubled, when they realized, the people realized that they had crucified Jesus Christ by mistake. You understand they crucified Christ by mistake because they thought he was anti-God. And so they crucified him. And when Peter preached to them on the day of Pentecost, they were pricked in their hearts. They were troubled in their spirit. And they said, men and brethren, what must we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. And that's what he expects from us today, that we repent, but we receive the Holy Spirit. What is repentance? Repentance is changing sides. I had a acquaintance. I don't want to call him a friend, but he was something. And he got in a lawsuit in Florida, and he realized he was losing, and he got up and changed tables. He went from the plaintiff and moved over. The judge said, sir, what are you doing? You're the plaintiff. He said, we're losing. I want to get on the winning side. The judge said, you can't get back on your side. But when you repent, you're changing sides. You realize that you are losing because you're carnal. Carnality will lose. Carnality is death. Spirit will win. Spirit is life. And so when you repent, what you're doing, you're preparing to change sides because you've been carnal, but now you're about to be born again. You're going to become spiritual. And so Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is a continuous process. I heard a lady said to another lady one time in an altar in Oak Valley, Illinois, she said, get the Holy Ghost and get over it. That defeats the purpose. You don't get the Holy Ghost to get, you receive the Holy Spirit never to get over it. It's going to become a continuous source in your life. It's going to be the source of your weaponry. It's going to be the source of your gifts. It's going to be the thing that makes you as different as you used to be from night to day. You are a what? New creature, a new creation. And so when Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit, he identified it as a river. I asked a man one time, I said, how many thrones are in heaven? He said, three. I said, who's on the throne? He said, God the Father's on one, God the Son's on the other, and God the Holy Ghost on the other three. I said, is there a scripture for that? He said, no, I just know that. There is only one throne in heaven. So he was wrong. I said, explain to me what they look like. He said, well, God the Father looks like an old man. He said, God the Son looks like a young man. And he said, the God the Holy Spirit, I don't know what he looks like. That's because his theology was so bad, he couldn't explain what he was trying to say. Because the Holy Spirit, by Jesus, is shown to be a river that never ceases to flow. That means that there is a continuous, never-ending supply of God's weapons and God's gifts. You say, well, I did that yesterday. Oh, yeah, but God wants to do a new thing in you today, and the river is still flowing. Remember when Ezekiel talked about that river, and it's emblematic of what happens to us. That river began to flow out from beneath the tabernacle door. And what? Know not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost lives in you, so there should be flowing out of you every day, a river. And remember that river flowed out, and it was water to wade in, then it was knee high, then it was thigh high, and finally it was water to submerge yourself. You had to swim in it. Ladies and gentlemen, when you get mature in the Lord, you should not get less spiritual. You shouldn't get deader just because you've been saved 40 years. You ought to be more alive now than you've ever been in your life. You ought to realize that God has called you for such a time as this, praise God. And God is going to give you the gifts that fit this generation. And God is going to give you the weaponry that fits this generation. But in order to do that, you have to be filled with God's Spirit. And the reason America is in the shape it's in is not because we had two presidents named Bush, or one named Clinton, or one named Trump, or one named Biden. That's not the problem. The problem is that we have an anemic church that is not filled with the Spirit, and they're trying to operate with weapons and gifts that are of the Spirit, and they don't have the Spirit. And so we have got a church that is paralyzed and can't do anything about the dilemmas in America. The drug problem in America should be laid at the feet of the church, not at the feet of the White House. The church has failed America because we are not a Spirit-filled church when we talk about all of Christendom. Paul wrote to Galatians and said, fools, oh, foolish Galatians. He said, you began in the Spirit, and now do you think that you can be perfected in the flesh? You know, the church can do a lot of things. The food bank we do is a great thing. All the things that we do to help society is great. But that's not the real essence of the church. The real essence of the church is that we are Spirit-filled, Spirit-baptized. Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do, talking about his works. If Jesus was given the Spirit without measure, how can we excel and exceed what he did if we don't have the Spirit without measure? We have to be a Holy Ghost-filled church. And I would adjure you that every day of your life, you pray in the Spirit. The Apostle Paul prayed in the Spirit. And he said, I pray everything I know about. There's a lot of things you don't know. There's things about your spouse you don't know. There's things about your family you don't know. There's things about your work you don't know. But the Holy Ghost knows all things. And so when you pray in English or Spanish, you pray about everything you know. But then you get lost in the Spirit and you pray in a tongue that you don't understand. But that's the Holy Spirit, and he's praying for all those things that you don't need. Know, and you are an intercessor. But we can't do that unless we're Spirit-filled. The church has to get on fire. The church has to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. There is no hope in America unless the Catholic Church becomes Spirit-filled, and many of them are. Unless the Methodist Church becomes Spirit-filled, unless the Baptist Church and the Presbyterian Church and the Pentecostal Church and the Church of God and the Assembly of God. You know, know what is sad is the assembly of God, the church of God, the spirit-filled churches are moving away from that, and denominational churches are moving toward that. That's a trick of the devil. Do not abandon the things of God. I said it earlier. Do not dismiss and become dismissive of things that God says are very important. And one of the most important things that we can learn is that the church must have the Spirit without limitation. And it's not just enough to come and get a little motivated here on Sunday or Wednesday. You've got to be able to get in the Spirit on your own every day by yourself. And the reason why the church has lost a generation and losing their children is because the parents are no longer filled with the Spirit without limit. Everything that river touched in Ezekiel's emblematic story, everything it touched lived. Friend, if you want your children to live, you've got to have a river that flows out of you that touches them. It will make your children live. Everything the river touches lives, and everything the devil touches dies. So you've got to decide whether you want to have weapons of mass destruction or weapons of mass construction in your life. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And when you get filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, you simply become a supernatural person. Creflo's the first one I ever heard say it. You got to get God to put that super on your natural. You just cannot raise children like they ought to be raised without the Holy Spirit flowing out of you. You can't be what you ought to be unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. This world is out of control. But ladies and gentlemen, I am not concerned because what I know about the nature of God consoles me about this generation. When I look at this world, it's exactly like that football game. It's 27-0. It looks like the church is losing. But what I know about God causes my hope to spring up eternal. And what is that you know about God? I know God always does the best later. He always does the best next. God is never anticlimactic. God never dwindles down. God always ends on a high note. There's always a grand crescendo to what God is doing. And I know that God said he saw the end from the beginning. If God was going to lose at the end, why wouldn't he have shut it down before now? Because God knows what the end is. And the end is that God is going to have a fire-baptized, spirit-filled church that is going to do greater works than Christ did. That's what the Bible said. He said the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the glory of the former house. He said the latter rain is going to be greater than the former rain. And so, ladies and gentlemen, God wants to weaponize you, and God wants to gift you. But they are the weapons, not carnal, but spirit. And they are the gifts, not carnal, but spiritual. That means God is going to do a work in you that you have not even imagined yourself. That you are not even imagined yourself. But we dissolve into carnal things and we don't get victories. I don't know, 3 or 4 Sundays ago, remember I got so weak in the pulpit that Pastor Brandon had to come in and preach for me. And I was like that for a month. I was so weak, I couldn't hardly walk from my car to my office. And I was sitting there just so weak. And I'd been feeling, I wasn't sick, I was just weak. And I was sitting there in my chair and I prayed. I said, Lord, why am I so weak? And the Lord spoke to me as clearly. He said, it's that medicine you're on. I got on my iPad and I checked a medicine the doctor had given me for blood pressure. And every symptom that I was experiencing was underneath that. I typed in the benefits and the side effects. And every side effect I was having from that blood pressure, I went off of that. In 24 hours, I felt like I was 18 years old. And I hadn't been back on it. And I got energy to burn. What are you saying? I would have never found that out if I hadn't had the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost told me, that's your problem. I'd already been to the doctor and told him the way I was feeling. He said, you know what my doctor said? He said, I don't know what it is. He said, it could be an attack of the devil. That's what my doctor said. Well, you're not a preacher. You're a doctor. If I needed spiritual advice, I'd ask Jerome. I didn't come in here. I come here to ask you medical advice. Here you are talking about the devil. You should have said, that doctor should have said, that's the effects of the medicine I got you on. But he didn't realize that. And I hadn't got back to, he's a Christian, I hadn't got back yet to see him. Boy, am I going to tell him when I see him. The point is, you are facing all kinds of battles in your life. And if you will get filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm getting ready in the next few Sundays to go weapon by weapon and show you how to use these spiritual weapons. But if you will get filled with the Holy Ghost is smarter than your doctor. He's smarter than your lawyer. He's smarter than your mother-in-law. He's smarter than your banker. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, this church does extremely well financially. And it's not because all of you are tithers, because we don't take in as much money as we should for the number of people we have. Some of you are unbelievably faithful with your tithe and offering, but some of you are just riding free. You just think we're your Uber driver, and you're not even paying your Uber bill. And like I said a while ago, we want you to keep coming. But the point is, we could not have 40 acres of the most valuable property in San Antonio and do what we do if we just relied on the tithe and offering. But the Holy Spirit gives me insight of how to handle that money and multiply that money that comes in till we never have to come out here and say, we need $200,000 for this. We've always got it. Because the Holy Spirit is my chief financial officer, praise God. He tells me what to do. And we have made some amazing investments and got amazing return. And I give God the credit for that. But if God can do it for this church, He can do it for you. Some of you are working hard on your job and you're still broke. That's because the Holy Spirit is not your chief financial officer. If He was, He would tell you how to handle your money, and you would get to the place where you could retire anytime you want to, because God would become your source. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that we are living in the last days, and in the last days, God has particular gifts and particular weapons that Abraham and Apostle Peter didn't have. They are gifts and weapons that are fine-tuned for 2023. They got your name on them, but they only come in the Spirit, and you're not going to get that gift until you get full of the Holy Ghost, until every day of your life you're praying in the Holy Ghost, until every day of your life you're worshiping the Holy Spirit. Some of you can't even praise God when these people are leading you. What are you doing at home when you don't have a leader? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, I can praise God when I don't have nobody up in front of me leading me. I can pray when I don't have... Oh, I know if the Bible said if any two agree, I do that all the time. But sometimes I don't have anybody else to touch and agree. I just got to touch it twice. I say, praise God, there ain't nobody around. Let me just slap it twice, and I'm going to agree. That's my weaponry. I'm living in the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I am blessed beyond measure. I'm living a double portion life, but you ain't seen nothing yet. Praise God. I told Becky the other day, we do extremely well. I said, Becky, I'm praying that the Lord would open a door for me to make millions and millions and millions of dollars. And she said, what would you do with it? I said, the first thing I'd do is tithe to the church. And the second thing I do is I will develop a worldwide ministry to reach every human on this planet. Say, well, you're 73 years of age, but I feel like Caleb, praise God. Give me this mountain. God's not giving up, and he's older than I am, so I'm not giving up. I'm saying, God, let me get filled with the power of the Holy Spirit that I can get every gift that you have created for me and every weapon that you have created for me, because we like to say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That might not be true if you're not spirit-filled. If you don't have any defense, that might not be true. You've got to have a defense and an offense against the devil. I see Christians defeated all the time. I'm not going to be one of those. I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to stay full of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to keep worshiping God. A friend of mine told me his church just decided they're not going to give any altar calls. We're going to keep giving altar calls. We're going to keep worshiping God. We're going to keep letting the Holy Spirit flow. We were called for this day and time. The world has got plenty of those kind of churches, but I want a church that is filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can have the gifts that God wants to give you and give the weapons that God wants to give you. Praise God. I say this to my own hurt. If you are sick and you can't be well, you say, well, that's just the way it is. You need to check your church. You might want to start blaming the people that sat on your pew. You might want to start blaming the pastor in the pulpit. Say, this is not supposed to be this way. I'm supposed to go to the city of refuge and get healed, praise God. Oh, say, what's the problem? We're not all filled with the Spirit. If every one of us that are get filled with the Spirit that are in this building right now, I promise you it would change San Antonio, Texas. 12 men turn the world upside down. Several hundred people get filled with the Holy Spirit and get the weaponry and the gifts of God in their life. It will change San Antonio, Texas. Stand on your feet, lift your hands, and give God some praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. I'm telling you that God has got a plan for his church. And Jesus has replacements. Jesus has replacements. If I say, I'm not going to preach anymore, the gospel's not going to go out of business. The church is not going to fold. God's going to have replacements. If I don't do what I'm supposed to do, there's some guy that owns a bar that God's going to save, and he's going to sell his bar and become a preacher. God's got replacements. Let me tell you, you might not be predestined, but God's church is predestined. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God's going to have a group of people that are filled with the Spirit and that have the gifts that he wants to bestow upon them and the weaponry, and I'm volunteering. I'm saying, God, don't pass me by. God, you're going to have somebody. It's going to be me. I'm going to war with spiritual weapons. I'm going to operate in spiritual gifts. I have been blessed, but not as blessed as I'm going to be. I've been used of God, but not as used as I'm going to be. I've seen some things, but I'm going to see more. There is a bright day ahead for the church of the living God, and Jesus Christ is able to do it, and quickly. I heard somebody the other day talking about suddenly. How sudden God can be. And friend, you say, oh, just take a long. Just like that, God can turn things around. And any moment in your life, if you're in this building right now and you've got needs in your life, you've got sickness in your body, you've got chaos in your family, you've got poverty in your bank, whatever you've got wrong in your life, I can tell you that is not the will of God. And you say, well, if it's not the will of God, what should I do? Get filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to exercise in the Holy Spirit and let God give you the weaponry to defeat the devil of sickness and the devil of poverty and the devil of fear. Just begin to defeat those devils one right after another and get those gifts and begin to manifest them, and suddenly God is doing things in your life like you've never seen before. It will happen. Becky is singing right now. If you are hungry for God to bring into your life